Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. Let's just open in a word of prayer as we get started. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come and study the word of God together. We trust, oh God, that you would just get the glory out of our gathering here. Reveal to us, oh God, what the Spirit would have us to know. The prophet told us that if revelation was beyond us, then we should look up and ask you for it. So, God, we ask that you would just open up our understanding, and through it, may our hearts draw closer to you, Father, is our prayer. We just appreciate you for allowing us all to come here safely, and those that are still on the way, God, give traveling mercies to those that are unable to join us tonight. We pray that you'd look upon them. And, God, those that are joining us online, minister to them right where they are. We ask that you would have your way in this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I'll read just a few verses here as we have started our journey here on last week. It says here in verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles," and just remember, as we were talking about this last week, Paul considered himself, he was in prison while he's writing these letters, you know, but he considered himself, it was like a great honor to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So he, when he's writing this from prison, he has a different perspective, you know, than most people that are reading it. He has a different perspective, but Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles," and you know, he's there because of the sake of the gospel, and it's the gospel that he is bringing to the Gentiles. He is the first messenger to the first church age, and every other messenger's pattern after Paul's example. So it says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery," as I wrote afore in a few words, and we'll be dealing with these verses tonight. It says, "Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Amen. You know, I love that. I'll inject this while I'm thinking about it. Brother Branham, when it came to understanding that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New, it was the Spirit of God that gave the prophet that revelation, you know, while he was doing something. The Spirit of God just kind of came upon him and just settled in his heart. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New, and he just began to preach it. And we thank God that we have clarity on that he brought that to us, and we have clarity on it. So here it's revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, and not only to his holy apostles and the prophets, but it's going to be revealed to us also by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Let's just stop with our reading there, and we'll go ahead and get started in our lesson here tonight, by the grace of God. I want to start at slide 3. We'll just go right into the key statements that are given to us, and then we'll pick up from there. So this first statement says, your life will prove exactly what side you're on. And I love that. Your life actually proves it. Not what you say out of your mouth, but your life proves what side you're on. I don't care what side you say you're on. What you do every day proves what you are, you know. And this is very important. Oftentimes, we have a lot of Christians that like to live so close to the edge. Amen. They want to see how many things of the world they can get away with before it actually becomes sin, right? And I don't think that's the way that we should live as Christians. A Christian wants to live so close to Christ that they don't even want to think. They don't have thoughts in their mind that might be considered sin. They don't want actions from their body to be considered sin. They don't want to be anywhere close to sin. They don't want their good to be evil spoken of, right? So your life proves what you are. It doesn't matter what you say, right? Your life, the decisions that you're making every day is what proves what you are. And I decided a long time ago, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus. And I mentioned this last week, no matter where I go, I'm still a Christian, right? It doesn't matter. I don't have to be with the saints to be a Christian, right? I'm a Christian because of what Christ did for me. It's a personal testimony what he did for me. He changed me from the inside and reflects on the outside. Amen. All right, so this next statement here is that, oh, if God can get him prisoners like that, now that's when he can express the preeminence. And I can't wait for us to kind of get into some of that, but this is one of God's mysteries. Brother Branham went and told us there's three things God wanted to do. First, he wanted to reveal himself to his people. Secondly, he wanted to have the preeminence in his body. That means God wants to lead you by his spirit. He wants to direct you by his spirit. The Bible says those that are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the third thing that he wanted to do is take us back to Eden conditions again. That was God's great plan. It says where he can express the preeminence, you see, he's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. All right, this next statement. But the only way you're saved is by know him by revelation. I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie you Pentecostals till you won't know. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. That's right, but that's not it. That's not his church, just because you know a lot of scriptures. It says that's not his church. His church is himself revealed. His church is himself revealed. Amen. All right, this last statement here before we go forward says he will bring back the elect of the last day, and they will hear a vindicated prophet. I was teaching this morning on a call that I told you all that I'm a part of, 8 o'clock in the morning, and every once in a while I have to teach, and we're going into Revelation chapter 4, John is told, come up hither. And I was saying, this voice, the Bible said the voice that was talking to John, that was in the midst of the golden candlesticks, was in the church ages. But after the church ages was over, that voice went to heaven and said, come up here, John. And I said, now, if the scriptures say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. To say, if you don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying in the church age, there's no way you're going to have an ear to hear the voice say, come up hither. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, I mean, if you know, only the elect are going to hear the voice. And if I can just put it this way, yes, we are following a prophet, but actually we're following a prophet as he follows Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Not blindly following the prophet. We're following the prophet as he has followed Christ. Amen. That's what we see. So it says he will bring back the elect of the last day, and they will hear a vindicated prophet give the exact truth as it was with Paul. He will restore the truth as they had it. Praise God. And those elect with him And that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord and be his body and be his voice and perform his works. Praise God. You know, I just love that. You know, when Brother Branham was here, there was a scripture, Revelation 18:4, that he fulfilled where it says, come out of her, my people. He's calling people out of that denominational system. Well, him not being here now, guess who's calling them out of that denominational system? We are. Amen. We are the voice. Brother Branham say, we as a bride will be the final voice to the final age. Amen. Your life is a voice. Amen. We're calling, come out of her, my people. Be separate. Don't. They're going to be punished. That system's going to go down in punishment. You don't want to be a part of that. So come out. Amen. Is what we say. All right. I'm going to slide 5. And as we go there, I want to just, the verses that we are reflecting on in this slide is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 through 4. And it says this, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So it's by revelation that God made known to Paul the mystery. Paul spent a number of years on the backside of the Arabian desert and God revealing to him, you know, these things. God showed him things that Peter didn't even know, right? The other disciples didn't know. God showed it. And God allowed Paul to be the one to write 2/3 of the New Testament. So he's saying, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, I want to just kind of go back to Matthew 16 before we get started on these quotes. Matthew 16 and verse 13. It takes the Spirit to reveal it. And one thing I want to encourage the church when we come here together, whether it's in a Wednesday night service like this or whether it's Sunday morning, always come praying and asking God to reveal to you. I think Brother Smiley was hitting that really, really well on Sunday. Like, you know, sometimes we just think it's just another message, but sometimes we got to stop and ask, Lord, why would you put in the heart of the minister to start the year off like this, to talk about junctions? You know, why would you, Lord, what is it that you want me to get out of this? What does that mean to me, right? And, you know, as you start entering into it that way, then God begins to make things personal. You know, I was, one of the things that I've been looking at, one of the questions I was having within myself, why would God allow the prophet to take the prophecy of Joel, you know, as far as, you know, young men seeing visions and old men dreaming dreams and pouring out his spirit upon his handmaidens? Why would he take that prophecy and then preach about the junctions of time? And I'm like, I know God got a purpose for this. He didn't just grab a scripture just to be grabbing one, but what would be the purpose? And, you know, and just as, you know, just different ones been talking and been sharing, just even in our time of prayer last night, it just began to quicken to me, you know, because, you know, Brother Branham said that the supernatural or the miraculous is supposed to happen at every junction. Well, when you look at Joel 2, that is the supernatural. That is the supernatural. So when we place ourselves underneath that scripture, underneath that prophecy, because that's not a prophecy that stopped on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. That prophecy said in the last days, not days. So that means what they got at Pentecost, we're supposed to be expecting even right now. Hallelujah, church. Amen. There should be a day that we walk out of church, just like Peter came out the upper room, and we say, this is that. The manifestation becomes the interpretation. Praise God. And that's what we're under expectation for, right? Amen. We can stand out. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why can't we have nothing like that, church? And as Brother Smiley was preaching on Sunday, that just the very scripture that he read, it confirmed something to me, because I was saying how we want to change some things this year, you know, that fifth Tuesday. I said how we just, those that are gifted in our midst, because we know saints got gifts. We want to put them in an environment where, you know, those gifts can go forward. And I said, and what we do is just the way the prophet said, do it. Just come and sit in the presence of the Lord. Just come and sit. He said, maybe just sing a song or so and just sit there. And I guess, because I'm going to tell you, oh, Lord, I'm here again. I'm going to get to my scripture. I'm coming. I find that a gifted person, a truly gifted person, I'm going to say it like this. A truly gifted person, it does not take them hours for their gift to start kicking in. Now, I'm going to tell you why I know that. Praise the Lord. Because as a minister, I could get started with a little, you know, I'm going down this little spot right here and I'm going to do this. And next thing you know, the Spirit take over what I'm saying and change everything. And it didn't take me but about 5 minutes to get there. Hallelujah. 5 minutes. And so a gifted person, when a person has a gift of tongues and interpretation, it don't take hours for them to get worked up in the Spirit. Amen. That's why the prophet said, just sit. And when Brother Smiley was reading Acts 2, just go back and read it. It says they were all in one accord doing what? Sitting. And the Spirit came upon them and gave utterance. Hallelujah. That's the Bible. That's the miraculous that we look for at the junction. Oh, my. You got to know what you're looking for at a junction now. If you don't know what you're looking for, you end up going in any direction. But if you know what you're looking for, if you understand the signs, then you can get to your destination. So I thank God. Let's get over here to Matthew 16. Get back on track. All right. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Now can you imagine people? They know John the Baptist has been killed. And they're saying Jesus is John the Baptist, like he never died. Now just think of some of the thoughts that people have. Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They don't know what to say. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I love that personal question that he gave to the disciples. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and can you, maybe there was a little suspense. Y'all got to put yourself on the scene. Maybe when Peter answers, you know, maybe Jesus just kind of lays quiet for a little bit. He asks a question. I gave an answer. Now what are you going to say? Maybe just lays quiet or keeps him in suspense. But then he opens his mouth and he says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what we find here is that the revelation was given to Peter by God himself. And in this hour, if we're going to have revelation that has to come by God himself, it's not a teacher that does it. It's not, you just constantly reading the Bible, that's good. But revelation is something that comes, amen, by God himself. The Spirit of God has to quicken your understanding in order to bring revelation. And let me tell you, when you get revelation, the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Oh, I love that. It may come against it, but it can't prevail against it. The reason I just can't be shook from what I believe in this about this message, because I received a revelation. It was not head knowledge. It wasn't head knowledge. It was a revelation. Praise God. Amen. I'm standing on that revelation. That's why many of you all can't be shook. No matter what happens, I'm sorry, I'm staying with this. And I'll tell anybody, like the prophet said, if this ain't that, I'ma just keep this until that come. Now you know, Baptists are keeping what they got. Pentecostals are keeping what they got. Catholics are sure keeping what they got. Well, let me keep this until that come. Praise the Lord. All right. Here's a prophet makes some statements in this message, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. Says, did you notice Paul never knew Jesus physically? It says Paul never knew him. The only way that Paul knew him was by a revelation, by a vision. It says, is that right? Paul only knew Jesus by the revelation, just like Peter did. Peter had seen him in the flesh, but he didn't know him by flesh. And that's a powerful statement. Peter had seen him in the flesh, but he didn't know him by flesh, because Jesus said so. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the thing to you, that he is the word of God. Now, even hanging with Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus, seeing all the signs, wonders, and miracles of Jesus, it wasn't through that fleshly relationship that Peter understood who he was. But the Father in heaven gave him a revelation of who the Son of God was. Amen. As many people went hunting with the prophet, fishing with the prophet, did a lot of things with the prophet, but still did not have a true understanding as to what his ministry was all about. Didn't understand it. Amen. It says, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter didn't know him by flesh. Men walked and handled him and everything else. Paul had something greater than any of the apostles did. See, they said, well, I've got more of a revelation than you, Paul, because, you know, I walk with him. I went fishing with him. One day I heard him talk. He sat in a boat with me and actually told me, let's go over here and fish in this place and we'll get more fish. And we did it. See, we seen him do things, but Paul saw him after he was dead, buried, rose again, expressed himself in the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, knowing Paul, being a Jew, would have never called that Lord unless he had seen the expression. He was back the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, and I'll just inject this, you know, before I go further. I was sharing this also this morning. In Genesis 1, I believe it's verse 3, where it says, God said, let there be light. That light that came out in Genesis 1:3 was what we call the Logos, what we call the pillar of fire. That was the light that came out, because the sun and moon was not created until the fourth day. The Bible calls them two lesser lights, right? So that was the fourth day, one to rule by day, one to rule by night. But the light that came out in Genesis 1:3 was Logos, or we also call it pillar fire. We even call it the Son of God. It was God, Brother Branham said, gave birth to himself. God, being a spirit, gave birth to something that was tangible so that people would be able to see it, right? That's what this light was. And the way we can prove that is that this experience that Paul had on the road to Damascus, he was talking to a light. And while he's talking to the light says, Paul, is why are you persecuting me? It's hard to get kick against the pricks. Now, there's a lot to be said there. When the light talking to Paul and said, why you persecute me? Who was Paul persecuting? Paul was persecuting the believers. Praise the Lord. Now, so that tells us that if Paul was persecuting believers and the light say, why you persecute me? The light was actually inside the believers. Glory to God. That light is in believers today. We are walking in the light. We're living in the light. We're expressing the light. But the light spoke on behalf of the believers, say, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul spoke back to the light, say, who art thou, Lord? The light answered Paul. The light said, I am Jesus. when we see this pillar of fire hanging over the prophet's head, we realize what that is. That's the same Lord Jesus that came out of God at the very beginning. And it was God, because that's what the Bible say. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And that same Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then went right back to that Word body, or I would say that pillar of fire form again. Hallelujah. How we thank God for this. So let's go. He says, in other words, I'm the same God today that I was yesterday. Here I am at the same light, the pillar of fire that Moses talked to in the burning bush. No wonder he could separate the law from grace over in the book of Hebrews. He met that same pillar of fire. He said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. It goes on in this message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, and here he is today in the same manner, by the same pillar of fire, expressing himself and vindicating himself the same, revealing the mystery of God that's been hid since the foundation of the world. See it? Paul only knew him by revelation. Peter knew him by revelation. He walked with him, talked with him. Therefore, you can't set this word. Says, now, I've just said that he was the word. Now, a scholar can sit down and read that word till he can just tie your mind up in any way if he wants to do it. I forgot to read my little quote on the on the slide. It's okay. That's fine. It says, he can just tie your mind up in any way if he wants to do it, because he's smart, brilliant. Get a Catholic priest, or not so much as that, as a real good trained theologian and Bible brother, a Baptist or a Presbyterian or something. He'll make you think you don't know nothing. See, when it comes to talk, why? See, because that he has known him in the flesh, the word. It says, but the only way you're saved is by know him by revelation. If I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie you Pentecostals till you won't know. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. That's right, but that's not it. That's not his church. That's not his church. His church is himself revealed. Amen. Do you see it? And express by the word itself that he is God. His church is himself revealed. His church will be walking in the revelation of who he is, the same way Peter was able to walk in a revelation of who Christ was. We're also going to be able to walk in a revelation of who he is today. Amen. I was just thinking on this, and I'm going forward in this quote, you know, because people say, I want to preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. And, you know, I just rather you just preach Jesus. Well, I am. When I'm preaching this message, I am preaching Jesus. I am. All right. And you know, I want to take you back in the Old Testament, because, you know, the Lord Jesus hadn't come yet. And I want to ask you, because, and let me put it this way before I set you up with that when I'm preaching the revealed word for my day, I am preaching Jesus. I'm going to say that again. When I am preaching the revealed word for my day, I am preaching Jesus. Now, I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament. They didn't even know the name Jesus in the Old Testament. But when Noah was preaching, was he preaching Jesus? He was preaching the revealed word for his day. That's what God revealed. So when we preach the revealed word, we are preaching Jesus. All right. Glory to God. All right. Here in this message, adoption, part two, he says, now the first thing, he starts off here, he addresses his letter, Paul, which we're going to find out after a while, that all this mystery was revealed to him, not in a seminary, not by any theologian, but it was a divine revelation of the Holy Ghost that God gave Paul, knowing that the mystery of God, he said, that had been hid since the foundation of the world, had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit amongst the people was setting each one in order, setting the church in position. Now, the first thing Paul starts out here to tell the people is to get all the, he says, remember this to the church, not to the outsider. It's a mystery in riddles to him. So to the outsider, it's a mystery in riddles to him, never able to understand it. Goes over the top of his head. He doesn't know He does no more know about it than nothing. But to the church, glory to God, it's honey in the rock. It's joy unspeakable. It's a blessed assurance. It's an anchor of the soul. It's our hope and stay. It's a rock of ages. Oh, it's everything that is good, for heavens and earth will pass away, but God's word shall never pass away. I say praise God for that. It says, but the man outside of Canaan knows nothing of it. He's still wandering. Not saying that he's not a good man. And see, this is, you know, as people try to get you there. You mean God just gonna let, you know, these good people? No, God not letting them. Just because they act good and do good, you don't know if them people rejected God at one point in time or not. You don't know that. You have no idea of knowing that. Right? And then they say, well, the gospel, Christ ain't gonna come to the gospel going to all the world. You ever heard the internet? The gospel is going into all the world. There are people in the jungles of Africa and the jungles of South America hearing the gospel. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't limit God. Hallelujah. But what we got is people still wandering because they have rejected the gospel. Amen. And I've heard testimonies of a pastor that might have rejected the gospel, had some books from Brother Branham. And she's like, I'm going to get this out of my office and throw the books in the garbage can, you know. And then here comes a young man into his office to just meet with the pastor. And the young man, while he's meeting with the pastor, he's a young minister, and he notices the books in the garbage can. Like, what's them books down there? He's like, oh, that's false doctrine. You want to stay away from that. Like, that's false doctrine. Why you want to stay away from that? And the pastor step out of the office, young man reached down and grabbed one of them books. And when he starts reading it, he realized he can't stay in that church no more. So God's going to get his seed. God's going to get his seed. I don't care how you try to stop him. God, the Bible say, all that the Father's given me will come. But the question is, were they given? Because if they weren't given, God is not obligated to deal with them. Amen. All right. The man outside of Canaan knows nothing of it. He's still wandering, not saying that he's not a good man. I don't say that. I don't say the man even in Egypt's not a good man, but until he has come over into this possession, and the possession, the promise that was given to the church is not a natural land, but a spiritual land. For we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Then in this royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people called out, elected, chosen, set aside, then all the world is dead on the outside and we're led by the Spirit. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by man, but by the Spirit. I never met the prophet, not personally. So there'd be no way that he would have some sort of influence, you know, on me. The only way I know this message is because of what God has revealed to me. That's the only way I know it. And I can tell you this much that, once it was showed to me in scripture, that's all I needed. That's all I needed. If I can see something in the word of God, I'm sold out because I absolutely believe the word of God. Amen. You know how many other prophets have come up and they don't really move me one way or the other. Thank God for their prophecies, but it don't move me one way or the other. But when I hear something that's vindicated by God, I mean promised by God, then vindicated by God, then yes, that moves me, that gets my attention, and only the Spirit of God could quicken and reveal these things to me, because it's not a personal relationship that we have here. Even when it comes to understanding what Paul said, you know, it's the Spirit of God that has to give you that. Understanding anything in the Bible, it's the Spirit of God that has to give you that. So we thank God for revelation in this hour. Amen. That can never be overemphasized, having a revelation. Here in this message, the Laodicean Church Age, Brother Branham says the Baptists have their creeds and dogmas based on the word. Now, the creeds and dogmas are actually based on the word. They're pulling something out of the scripture to develop their denomination. It says the Baptists have their creeds and dogmas based on the word. and you can't shake them. See, this is what I was saying. This is what I was saying earlier. A Baptist is going to remain a Baptist. Pentecostal, I mean, diehard Pentecostals, they're going to remain diehard Pentecostals. Diehard Catholics, they're going to remain diehard Catholics. And they are going nowhere. There's nothing you can do to get them out of where they are. They're stuck there. So if they can do that, and I take this message and I want to become a diehard message believer, glory to God. Not only just diehard, I want to be what we call a pillar in the temple. Amen. A part of the superstructure, which means I can't be moved from this. I was placed in here by Almighty God, and I can't be moved from it. Hallelujah. You think a Baptist feel bad about not going along with Pentecostals? Not at all. Not at all. You think a Pentecostal feel bad about not going along with Presbyterians? Not at all. Think a Catholic feel bad about not going along with any of them? Not at all. And as a believer, I don't feel bad about it either. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God that he revealed this to me. They say the apostolic days of miracles are over and there is no baptism with the Holy Ghost subsequent to believing. The Methodists say, based on the word, there is no water baptism. Sprinkling is not baptism. And that sanctification is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. The Church of Christ majors in regenerational baptism. In all too many cases, they go down dry sinners and come up wet ones. Yet they claim their doctrine is word-based. Go right down the line, come to the Pentecostals. Do they have the word? Just give them the word test and see. They will sell out the word for a sensation just about every time. And that's critical, what the prophet just said. You know, in the message, we still have people like that, that'll sell out for a sensation over the word every time. And let me go a little further. People will sell out for their gift over the word every time. And if your gift cannot subject itself to the word, there's something wrong with the gift. Amen. I mean, be careful, church. I told you all, Moses had a gift. Moses could take a rod and hit a rock, and water would come gushing out. And Moses knew he had that. So when God told him the second time, now go speak to the rock, Moses. Moses got so excited, he went to the rock and hit it. Nothing came out. But you know, Moses hit it a second time, and water came out. With his gift, he was able to get something accomplished. But because he was off the word, he didn't go into the promised land. So the word must be first. In everything we do, the word has got to be primary. So we're not selling out the gifts. We thank God for them, but we won't sell out to them. The word can always be first. Amen. And whenever you find a person that can't subject their gift to the word, like, you know, Brother Branham told the sister that had the gift of prophesying. She's speaking tongues. She had a gift, but it just she was using it at the wrong time. And the first night she jumped up and she started prophesying. Like, oh, okay. Second night of meeting, she jumped up, did the same thing. And it's amazing that it wasn't just Brother Branham saw her doing that. Brother Billy Paul noticed that there seems to be a pattern here. Brother Billy Paul began to tell us to say, Daddy, that lady's back here again tonight. He said, yeah, I got my eye on her. It says, you know, you got to, you know, that's she just doing this all the time. So, yeah, I got my eye on her. Well, this time, Brother Branham watched her real good. He saw her reach down at the end of his close of his sermon, reach down. She started pulling up her stockings, getting ready for what this is a show, you know, pulling up her stockings and getting herself prepared. And as soon as she got herself all ready, and Brother Branham say, anybody want to come to the altar? She raised up and start prophesying. Brother Branham said, sit down. And she kind of looked like, I know he ain't talking to me. So he said, sit down. She going to still prophesy. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, sit down. That lady sat down and her spirit was grieved. Not only her spirit, but the church she came from, her pastor was grieved. And I'll say, Brother Branham, he didn't say nothing else. She sat down, had his altar call, went on about his business, stepped outside the church, and the pastor came beelining to him. You was wrong. You was wrong tonight. You was wrong. What you mean I was wrong? You was wrong. I was getting ready to have an altar call, and she got up and interrupted the altar call. No, the spirit wasn't on you. It was on her then. He said, but brother, the Bible say the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. See, let's get our gifts back in line with the word. Then God can use us. Glory. Give them the word test and see. They will sell out the word for sensation just about every time. If you can produce a manifestation like oil and blood and tongues and other signs, whether in the word or not, or whether properly interpreted from the word, the majority will fall for it. You know, my sister has a thing. She could be playing that piano, and before you know it, just like sweat just dripping from her hands. And she's been this way for years. You know, just sweat just start dripping from her hands. And I wonder, I imagine other people got some of the same things. So I don't know what it is that they do, but, you know, next thing, you know, sweat just dripping from their hands, and people think, oh, this is some sign from God. No, that's just, you know, it's not a sign from God. It's just something with the way that they're designed, you know. But we don't go after things like that. We want the word. We want the word. It says this, but what has happened to the word? The word has been put aside. So God says, I am going against you all. I will spew you out of my mouth. This is the end. For 7 out of 7 ages, I have seen nothing but men esteeming their own word above mine. So at the end of this age, I am spewing you out of my mouth. It is all over. I am going to speak all right. Yes, I am here in the midst of the church, the Amen of God, faithful and true, will reveal himself, and it will be by my prophet. Oh, yes, that is so. Revelation 10:7, and in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. There it is. He is sending a vindicated prophet. He is sending a prophet after almost 2,000 years. He is sending someone who is so far from organization, education, and the world of religion that as John the Baptist and Elijah of old, he will hear only from God, and he will have thus saith the Lord and speak for God. He will be God's mouthpiece, and he, as it declared in Malachi 4:6, will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He will bring back the elect of the last day, and they will hear. A vindicated prophet give the exact truth as it was with Paul. He will restore the truth as they had it. And those elect with him in that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord and be his body and be his voice and perform his works. Hallelujah. Do you see it? I thank God for that, church. This is, you know, all I can say is that we've all stepped into a vision. These things were written about most of us before we even were born. But God knew that there would be a group of people in this last day that was going to believe it. No matter what anybody else said, this truth has been restored. We have it. Amen. And just like Peter couldn't be shook, I mean, even it come down to the time where Jesus gave that sermon, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And most of the church walked out. Say, I can't take this. That's just a little bit too much. That's too much. And then there was a group of 70 ministers that Jesus ordained. You got to get that. These men were ordained by Jesus, went out and cast out devils and had all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles following their ministry. But when it came to the word, They walked out. They said, we can't take it. A little bit too much. This man is a cannibal. You know, something, this revelation that he just brought is just, it's just way too much for us to take. Got down to 12 people in the church and looked at them all and say, will you also go? Oh, Lord have mercy. And there go Peter again. Said, where I'm going? Glory to God, I love. I'm going to shake hands with Peter when I get to the other side. I just love his character. Where am I going? Me? Go back to that church I came out of? That's where you want me to go? Now, I know why I left there. And you want me to go back? Where I'm going? See, no, Jesus, only you have the words of eternal life. I'm going to stay right here. I might not understand what you just said. I might not be able to explain what you just said, but I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I might not understand everything the prophet is saying, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. Ain't that? We need some more folk like that. They got that type of assurance. Like, I'm sorry. I done tried a lot of things, but I ain't got to try no more. God done led me to where I need to be. Amen. Hallelujah. See? And the other thing is, like, you have to be able to tell people a revelation comes only by God. So, you know, you ask me this question, you ask me that question, you ask me this question, you ask, a revelation can only come by God. I can't give you a revelation. I can't give it to you. But if you wait on God, he'll give you the revelation. But let me just walk in what I got. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to walk in love with what I got. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be throwing this in your face all the time. I'm going to just walk in love with what I got. But just let me walk in the revelation that God has given me. I ain't bothering nobody. All right? I'm not bothering anybody. Just let me have this. I got more peace now that I have this. Glory to God. I have more love now that I have this than I ever had in all my life. So please, just, you know, if you know, like one brother said, yeah, you know, I lost my mind, but I found the mind of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The prophet makes this statement. He says, it's a revelation. It's eternal. It's God's words eternal. Look, but the threefold purpose of God, God's great mystery is revealed. The threefold purpose of God's great mystery is revealed. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem the lost. I was reading another statement earlier. Brother Branham said the glory of God was Christ. He says, but the glory of Christ is his church. We are his glory. Amen. The glory of God was Christ, but now the glory of Christ is his church. It's us. You're not just you're not junk, if I can just put it that way. You were designed by Almighty God, chosen and elected by him for the foundation of the world. I was listening to a brother talk, and he was saying when a man decides on a wife, that man has placed that woman at the highest pinnacle. That he could ever put that woman in. And what he's pretty much saying is that, you know what, I've looked all over. I couldn't find nobody but you that could take the place, I mean, as wife in my life. There is no other woman that could have this place. And there's millions of them out there. But you are the special one that's been chosen by me. That's what happens when a man finds himself a wife. What you think happens when Christ identifies himself a wife? He said, I done looked at this church, and I done looked at, but I found what I was looking for in you. I have chose you. You are my glory. It's special. We ought to feel special because we are special. It's a revelation. It's It's eternal as God's word is eternal. Look, but the threefold purpose of God's great mystery is revealed. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem the lost Eve back to the original condition again. Oh, my. Oh, there's going to be some great times on that day. It's right away. We believe it. Don't you believe it? It says, I just think of that song every time I think about it. All right. So the threefold mystery, and I say we're going to get into this a lot in this particular chapter. God wanted to reveal himself to his people. God wanted to have the preeminence in his body. And God wanted to take us back to Eden conditions again. And I want you to know that we are predestinated to go back to that spot. Brother Branham said that it says this Eve is predestinated not to fall. Not to fall. Can you imagine that? The first Eve, oh Lord have mercy. I can say this. The first Eve, because she was not a part of the original creation, it was something in her that would allow her to fall. Adam couldn't do it. Adam was a part of God, right? But when God made something out of Adam, created something out of that, then that was the only thing that the serpent could get to. That's the only thing that was not part of the original creation, so she could fall. But now understand, there was a purpose for all of that. Hallelujah. She didn't fall just to fall. But she fell so God could express these attributes that he had bottled up inside of him. Amen. And now we begin to, you know, to even love him more when we realize that he's our healer, he's our deliverer, he's our way maker, promise keeper, mighty God. You know, I mean, he's everything. He's a father for the fatherless, a mother for the motherless, right? A brother for the brotherless, a sister for the sister. I mean, he's everything you can imagine. He's that and more. That's why his title is, when he told Moses, go down and tell them, I am sent you. I am. That means I am whatever you need. If you need a provider, I'm a provider. If you need a way maker, I'm a way maker. If you need a healer, I'm a healer. If you need a deliverer, I'm a deliverer. I am whatever you need. That's exactly what I am. So through Eve doing what she did, it released all of that out of God. And it makes our relationship even mean that much more. But this Eve, because there's a second Adam that came. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of that second Adam is us. This Eve is ordained not to fall. I mean, this Eve she's part of the superstructure. She's not going nowhere. You can give up talking to her, trying to get her outside the word. You understand what I'm saying? You can stop that conversation because it ain't going nowhere. This Eve will cut you off quick. Hallelujah, church. Because we are ordained not to fall. And that's why many of y'all have already overcome some of this stuff. You know, different ones that are kind of threw this out at you and threw that. Look, I might not be able to explain it all, but I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay right there. And I'm going to stay there till God open it all up to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm going to be faithful to what I got. Amen. All right, church. Let's have a word of prayer. I won't go into the next verse because we will be here for another hour. But we'll have a word of prayer and save that for our next time together. God, we thank you. Lord, Paul is talking to us about these mysteries. The prophet picks them up and just begins to share with us things that were hid in ages past. And one of the things that a very important revelation the prophet brought us was the threefold mystery of God. How you wanted to reveal yourself to your people. You wanted then to have the preeminence in the people. That means to be able to sit on the control tower of their hearts and direct them and lead them and guide them and help them through life. You love it when we turn to you, God, with different things that we need your direction. It's just like any father with children. Father appreciates when the children are in need of direction and he can help. He can just give a word that would just set them in the right path. That's the way you are to us, God. We just thank you that we can come to you anytime we need you, we can come to you. Thirdly, Lord, you wanted to restore us back to Eden conditions again, the fellowship that you had with Adam and Eve in the beginning, the innocence that was there. Oh, God, just the way that you would come down in the cool of the evening and just begin to speak, ask them about their day. And Lord, if anything was uncomfortable, maybe the sun was shining a little bit too hot, Adam could command a tree to just move and bring shade. Lord, there's a certain a place that he was in. If he was thirsty and didn't want to take a walk to the river, just maybe command the river to come to where he was. Lord, you want to take us back into these places again, and the Holy Spirit is certainly bringing us there. God, we thank you for this. And Lord, I pray that as we understand and receive, Lord, the revelation of the word, that you would just continue to draw our hearts, Lord, closer to you. We don't brag about where we are. We realize it's nothing but grace that has brought us to this spot. But Lord, we're not going to be ashamed to be called your bride and to operate in the position as bride, realizing we are your glory. God, we thank you. We love you. Praise you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Praise the Lord. So just a couple announcements that we'll make mention of. We plan on having service on this Sunday at 10:30, and certainly for those that are online, we'll continue our streaming. Some of the saints, I just want to make mention that some of the saints here in the church had come in contact with someone that tested positive, and you know they're a very close relative of theirs just tested positive. So we are when things like this happen, one of the things that we could do is just completely shut down the church and just try to keep everybody out and keep everybody safe. But we realize that, you know, we're trying to balance a thing of not having people operate in fear and also acting responsibly. We're trying to balance that. Because the main thing that we do not want to happen here at this church is that there be some major outbreak. And, you know, when you've been in contact with someone that tests positive, you don't know if you were a carrier. You don't know. And so what we're asking when we come to church, especially over the next couple weeks, we're asking everyone, please do your best. Just keep your mask on. Try to get a mask that's comfortable and just keep your mask on, because we still want to have church. We feel like the Lord is doing something here, and we just still want to have church. But I think every day we all might be coming in contact with somebody that's positive. And it's only the grace of God that's keeping us. But when someone notifies us and tells us that this has happened, then we have a responsibility, amen, to do the best we can to keep the church safe. So right now it's just that they came in contact. That person is certainly staying away at this time. They're going to quarantine themselves. And we thank God, and we want to encourage everybody else. If you kind of go through something like that, you need to quarantine, it's perfectly fine. You can give us a call and let us know what's going on. And, you know, certainly even if you felt symptoms yourself, let us know so we can pray for you. And, let's just do all we can to navigate this the right way. By the grace of God, we have not had any outbreaks. By the grace of God. But I think in order for us to keep it that way, we have to do the necessary things just to take what I call precautionary measures. Amen. That's all they are. It's just like when I leave my house, I lock my front door. It's a precautionary measure. When I park my car in the parking lot out there, I lock the door. It's a precautionary measure. So I think during this season, with what we're facing with this great pandemic, that's the least we can do. So I just encourage everybody, just since we've been told that this is something that was possibly in our midst, that one of the close family member of somebody that we had sitting here with us, that family member tested positive. So we want to do everything we can to keep everybody safe, amen, while they're here in the house of God. We're expecting Brother Joe Underwood to be with us on Sunday. He'll be here preaching. You know, God worked a miracle in Brother Joe Underwood and his wife, Sister Rebecca, their life. And that miracle started here. Praise the Lord. And we thank God, because there's always a supernatural that happens at the junction. Amen. So we're going to hear supernatural. You know, I told him, please share part of that testimony and just be prepared to preach for us as well. So we're looking forward to that on Sunday. And we got some other things that are coming up here in the near future. Brother Ernie Villanueva will be coming to us towards the end of the month and be here at the beginning of March. So we got a lot to look forward to. And I'm trusting that God will just lead us and guide us. So if you're at home, you can certainly do the streaming right at the church website, www.spiritandtruthtabernacle.org, or Facebook, because Periscope will be going away. We'll probably take that off the announcements here shortly, but Facebook and the church website. Don't forget the corporate fast will start on February 23rd, and it'll go through March 14th, February 23rd through March 14th. Keep that in mind. And also our couples fellowship dinner, we plan on having February 20th. And so keep that in mind as well. Praise the Lord. As far as our giving, we all have the opportunity to give. Those that are online, you can give via Cash App or through PayPal. If you use Cash App, just use $ Spirit and Truth T. And if you use PayPal, we say, please select the option, give to a friend or family member. And the email address that you'll use for that is giving@john423.org. Those that are inside the house of the Lord, we have a wooden box there on the table that you can put your offerings in. And if you didn't have online PayPal or Cash App and you just want to mail something into the church, the address there to the church is on the bottom of the screen. It's Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, 3951 Haverhill Road, Suite 109, West Palm Beach, 33417. Amen. Praise God. So keep those things in mind. And we will have a word of prayer before we depart. I was told we had a word of prayer a few weeks ago, I think, for Sister Bernice. And she had a big test that she was getting ready to take, and we had a word of prayer for her. And I heard that she passed the test. So we thank God for blessing our sister. Amen. And before we go in prayer tonight, does anyone have a request in their heart that they, all right. Yes, sis. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. She had the vaccine and she's not feeling well. All right, we'll pray for her. Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. We'll remember these requests before God's throne tonight. Father, we are coming before your throne. We serve a God that not only hears our prayers, but he's a God that responds and answers to the prayers. I believe the prophet told us that the angels are secretaries, that they have to bring the answers as we ask for them. They bring them to us, oh God. And Lord, we just trust that as we bring these requests tonight to you, that you, God, would dispatch, Lord, in such a way that things would be handled speedily. We want to remember the neighbor there, Lord, and I believe it's Ginger, Lord, and took the vaccine and just not feeling well. God, we pray that whatever it is in her body that might be rejecting it, or God, just it's not selling well, that you would just fix it. We know that man is doing all that he can with the things that they are providing or trying to provide, but God, they don't know enough. Even the prophet has already told us that things are going to be coming that the doctors won't be able to do anything about. So, Lord, our faith and our trust is actually in you. And, Lord, we're just praying that you would just touch Ginger, that you would just move on the scene. She's there by herself. And, Lord, and I just pray that you give us strength daily, God, to overcome whatever it is that is attacking her body. We know oftentimes when we take these vaccines, it's a virus that's actually being placed in us. And, Lord, our bodies have to build up immunity to the virus. So, Lord, sometimes these things work against, but I just pray that you would give her strength to endure and to overcome. And, Lord, there might be others that might not have put in a prayer request, but they may be in the same situation. We pray that you remember them, God, even at this moment. You give them strength, Lord, during this time. I want to remember Ma Bev. Lord, Lord, she's just not doing her best right now. And we ask that you, Lord, would just touch her, God, in only a way that you can. We've seen you do it before. We know you're able to do it again. So we commit her, Lord, into your hands. And in between her and her condition, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus, because you told us in your word that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon you. With your stripes, you told us that we're healed. So we apply the word of God and we send the word to her that it would make the difference in her life. God, and also the saints there in South America, precious brother Carlos, Lord, who visited us last year and God got back home and then this whole pandemic hit. The man hasn't been able to work, Lord, for a full year. And we think about us and how you have provided for us and you've done great things here in the midst. But Lord, there are saints out there suffering. But we know you to be Jehovah Jireh. And we know, God, that as our brother has asked for us to pray, and God, for us to be on the other side of, Lord, having a government that could give us stimulus and all these other things, and Lord, somehow be provided for. Lord, we know that you can do the same for him. And Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. And Lord, in the midst of this, somehow, some way, if you would use ravens to bring food to your prophet, God, you can use whatever you desire to supply the needs of the believers there in South America. God, I just pray that you move on the scene supernaturally for them. May they see your mighty hand. And Lord, may you protect them and keep them just as you kept the children of Israel in the land of Goshen. God, we commit them all into your hands. And as we give from our hearts tonight, Lord, we pray that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Bless our giving. Continue to meet the needs of your people. And as you meet the needs of your people, Lord, we know you also meet the needs of the church. We just appreciate you, God, for proving yourself over and over again, week in, week out, month in, month out. You prove yourself, and we thank you for it. Bless us and keep us, Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, but not your presence. And Lord, as we were notified of someone coming in close contact with someone that had this virus, they tested positive. Lord, we pray for the one that is tested positive. We ask that you bring healing to the body right now. We rebuke this devil of COVID in the name of Jesus. You are the Lord that healeth all of our diseases, even the ones that the doctors have no fix to. You're still the God that healeth all of our diseases. So we commit, Lord, the loved one in your hands and ask that you would just bring complete and total healing. As we, Lord, just continue to navigate, give us wisdom, give us direction, give us peace, God. For we know that you are the author of peace and not the author of fear. God, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Those that have joined us online, we say God bless you as well. We trust that we will see you again online on Sunday. God bless you. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss.